So I wanted to take a little bit here to talk about backing up. I like backup. Yep. It's something that I totally and strongly believe in, and I strongly and totally believe in it from having had catastrophes happen several times where I didn't, and I learned my lesson the hard way. And as someone who works in technology consulting, I see such catastrophes way more often than I really want to, than I really should. So much so that I actually, you know, decided to offer a backup solution to my clients that's so cheap that I break even on it. I don't make any money, but you know, on the front end, but on the back end, you know, at least, you know, if someone calls me and says, you know, oh my gosh, you know, my hard drive just crashed and I've lost, you know, everything, you know, if they, you know, were one of my clients and they were signed up for my backup service, at least I could do something for them, you know?
It saves you work, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it does. Well, I wouldn't say it saves me work. It gives me work, because now it's like, okay, well, I can, you know, I've got a backup of your stuff and I can get you back up and running. And, you know, I charge an hourly rate for, you know, my services, and so that actually generates work. But before, I couldn't charge that hourly rate because it was like, okay, you don't have a backup. There's nothing I can do for you. Sorry. You know, so I wasn't making any. I mean, so it's a win-win situation for everybody involved. But gosh, it's heartbreaking when someone contacts me and, you know, and they have no backup and there's nothing that can be done. And
yeah,
you know, you can send your drive off to a data recovery place, but I mean, it's extremely expensive.
And it's not guaranteed.
No. No. Oh, did I ever tell you this? That's how Bethany and I met. My wife. My wife and
really?
I.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't. Give us a story.
Yeah, all right, okay. So, short version. She, her hard drive died. She sent it off to a data recovery place, Drive Savers specifically. That's not an endorsement, you know, per se. That's, you know, they're good. They're as good as any of the other ones. Kroll OnTrack being another one. And I've worked with Kroll OnTrack more than I've worked with Drive Savers, because Kroll OnTrack is actually, they have a local corporate office here. But that's neither here nor there. So she sends her data off to Drive Savers, and Drive Savers returns it on a bunch of DVDs, pretty much as it was extracted from the hard drive, scattered across these DVDs. And so now she's got, she's got a Mac that she sent off to Apple for repair, and it comes back with a hard drive that's just got default install of Mac OS X. And she was like, well, how do I get this data that I've got on all these DVDs back on my drive? And so she called a mutual friend of ours who is a Mac developer, but he's a developer and doesn't necessarily, you know, know all the ins and outs. And so he said, you know, either I'll do it or I'll find someone to do it. And then he called me and said, you know, hey, I've got this friend. Here's the situation. And she needs help, and she's already spent several thousand dollars getting this data. If you just did this as a favor for me and did it for a pro bono, you know, I'll make it right for you on the back end. I'm like, hey, cool, no problem. So that's what I did. And
she's young, free, and single.
Yes. Well, you know, we're the same age. But yes, free and single, yes. We became friends and eventually more. But yeah, I mean, several thousand dollars is, you know, it costs her something like $2,500, and that's, you know, that's typical. So, backup. That's all I can say. If you value your time, if you value your money, if you value any of your data, have some sort of backup plan. what I generally recommend is what I like to call 3-2-1 backup. And that's kind of the accepted industry standard when it comes to backup, which is three copies of everything, two of which are on site, one of which is off. Because you can pretty much guarantee that in the event of a real total catastrophe, at least one of those things will fail, but not all three. So,
but in theory, shouldn't be possible, should it? Really?
Well, it shouldn't be possible in theory. Now, granted, there are things like nuclear strikes, in which case you really shouldn't worry too much about any of your data. There are other bigger things to worry about. But let's just say that I think it's safe to say that, you know, fire, tornado, hurricane, if you have an offsite that is far enough away, these things shouldn't matter. And so here's what I do. And what I've done for quite some time, and I'm going to discuss several solutions here, and I'll go over them really quickly. But I'm going to start with what I do. I use a few programs. First is a program called Crash Plan. And Crash Plan is made by actually a company that's local here to the Twin Cities. But, you know, they work on the national level. They have two products, Crash Plan and Crash Plan Pro. Crash Plan Pro being an enterprise level, self-maintained and self-hosted backup, and Crash Plan, being a really interesting and neat backup solution, for personal folks, as well as they've got cloud-based, subscription-based storage option. So, you know, you can, you know, back up a certain amount of data for a certain amount of dollars every month to their cloud-based storage as well. And what's nice about the Crash Plan product and some of the kind of interesting things are that not only can Crash Plan back up to an external drive incrementally, very similar to how Time Machine does it, not only can it back up to the cloud, but you can also back up to other computers. So, you know, these new iMacs that are coming with 1 terabyte drives that, you know, have all this extra space on them. You could choose to say, okay, I've got this other computer in my house. I've got my MacBook Air and I'm going to back up to this other computer that has all this extra additional space on it. And one of the nice things about Crash Plan is that it compresses and encrypts before backing up. So before it leaves your drive. So even as it's backing up over the internet to their cloud-based storage, it's doing so compressed and encrypted. So the actual amount of space it takes up while backed up, is less than the amount of space that it takes up on your drive because it's compressing it first. And, you know, especially if it's something like a text file or, you know, things that are not already compressed, it can compress that stuff pretty small. Another kind of really neat feature that Crash Plan has is it has a feature, I think it's called data deduping. So let's say that I'm backing up three machines to Crash Plan. And I've got the same file on all three machines. It will recognize that first one and then see the other two versions and say, oh, I already have that file. I'm only going to keep one copy of it.
Pat, if it inspects the file, or does it look by file name? Do you know?
I believe it does this by several attributes, file name, modification date, that sort of thing. Because it is incremental backup, too. Just like Time Machine, you can go back to previous versions of files and restore those. Therefore, it has to look at several factors to determine, you know, is this, in fact, exactly the same file, or is this a new, you know, an updated version of this same file, in which case I do need to back up this copy. But I digress. Enough about Crash Plan. It's great. I use it. I actually use the pro version, That's what I use as the backup solution that I offer to my clients. I have it running on a little, several generations back now, Mac Mini, hooked up to a Drobo. And that Mac Mini spends all day backing up, over 30, clients from literally all over the world. As soon as it has an internet connection on the client, it starts backing up to my servers. So that's great. But there's another kind of, thing that, I featured on Minimal Mac, but, I linked to it. It was, the unofficial Apple weblog, TUAW. And it just looked fantastic. And I really interesting. It's Dolly Drive. And, Dolly Drive, I think that was kind of premiered at Macworld, if not, because I had never heard of it before. But basically, everything I just described with Crash Plan, it does that using Time Machine. So, and, obviously that's something, it's what we believe in, right? It's using the native, what is the native backup system in macOS 10.5 and 10.6, and I would assume moving forward for Apple, to provide, to build on top of that and provide a couple of extra features that Time Machine natively does not. And the two extra features it provides are, number one, you can do a Time Machine backup to their cloud-based subscription storage. And the prices are very reasonable. I think it's something like $10 a month for 250 gigabytes of backup storage, which I should cover most people, since mainly what's being backed up is just stuff in your user directory. It's not backing up the OS. And that's $10 a month, but they've got a starting point of 5 gigs a month for $5 a month. Plus, for every month you use, they give you 5 gigabytes more every month. So you could start with that 5 gigabytes, and then next month you'll get 10, and then the month after that you'll get 15, and the month after that you'll get 20. And so eventually...
So that's without extra cost.
And that's without extra cost.
So it grows with you then.
It grows with you. Which, I mean, is I think it's a really interesting model. And finally, and this is what I love, obviously the problem with cloud-based backups like Mozy and Carbonite and these things is, restoring 200, 250 gigabytes worth of data over the internet is going to take weeks, right? You're not going to do this really. This is catastrophic backup. You don't want this stuff to be your primary backup. You don't want cloud-based backup to be your primary backup. If your goal is to recover everything and get a working system back, because it just simply will take way too much time. Now, granted, if your house is destroyed in a tornado and all of your computers and all of your internal backups with it, you'll be very, very happy to spend the couple of weeks waiting for that data download over your, new internet connection at your new house. But you certainly don't want to rely on that. So that's what I like about, so Dolly Drive also adds another feature to Time Machine's backup that Time Machine natively does not have. And a lot of people don't realize this. And that is, it can create a fully bootable backup to a connected external drive. Now, the reason why that's important is this, and that is, let's say your hard drive does die. Well, it's going to take some time to, order up a new hard drive or get your machine repaired or whatnot. You're going to need a fully bootable external backup if you want to get back up and running ASAP. I used to be just an absolute nutcase about this, where I had a super duper clone of my internal drive to an identical external drive. So with my black MacBook, I had installed a 320 gig 7200 RPM drive in that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I ordered two when I ordered that. I ordered one to put into my machine, but I ordered the other one to put into an external case, which I then cloned to once a night. So that if my hard drive were to die, I wouldn't even have to worry about booting up off of that external. I could remove the hard drive from the system and replace it with the one that was in the external drive and be back up and running in 15 minutes.
That's like serious... Yeah, that is serious, the world could end kind of thinking.
Well, but, you know, why do I do this? I did this because, you know, there was a time in my life where I had a PowerBook 12-inch, and it had been 2 months since I had, you know, since I had a decent backup. And I walked away from it one day, you know, went out for coffee, came back home. When I came back home, it was dead. It was dead as a doornail. Hard drive just seized up. No reason. And there was 2 months of work that I could not get back. Never to be seen again. Right? You know, and that wasn't the first time such a thing happened. You know? But those sorts of things happen to you enough, and then you just become crazed about it. And I've become crazed about it. You know, and especially because, I mean... So Time Machine, you know, by itself is really decent. I mean, it's built right in. Get an external drive and then plug it in and set it up to do Time Machine and let it do its thing. I mean, Time Machine has its issues and its hiccups from time to time. You know, all one has to do is do a Google search to find that out. But most of the time, in my experience, it just plain works, and it works pretty well. And in the few times that I've had Time Machine to restore from, while it doesn't create a fully bootable backup, it basically backs up all of the things that are not included in the system. It works basically a lot like a forward-looking migration assistant. So that when you do, you know, get a new Mac or whatever, you know, if you want to restore from Time Machine backup, it will restore that Mac back to, to the way it looked right before, sometime within 15 minutes before it died, which is, you know, it's great. It's, you know, it's the way to go, but it doesn't work unless you set it up and use it. So, I mean, you know, but you can't let that be your only solution, because, you know, there might be issues. You never know. You know, and so maybe, you know, I highly recommend Super Duper for cloning. That's what I use. That's what I use on my Air. I've got it set up to a, you know, even though it's a solid state, so I don't have to, I have a lot less, you know, with SSDs, you have less concern, I think. I don't know how that works, to be honest with you, but I think you have less concern about failure, but it's possible. It's theoretically possible, and you're going to want to have a backup of that data. So, yeah. So I use Super Duper, and I've got CrashPlan running on it. So anytime I'm connected to the internet, no matter where I am, I open up my Air, and within a few minutes, it's backing up to my Drobo downstairs. And then I keep most of my documents and stuff in Dropbox, and so I kind of consider that my far offsite backup, because, you know, in the event of a catastrophe, you know, anything that I really care about is in Dropbox. Yeah.
So any important stuff goes?
Yeah. Pretty much all of my documents, all of my text, you know, several of my application support folders actually live in Dropbox. You know, a lot of those support that natively. Things like 1Password actually supports native Dropbox. You know, your data file for 1Password living in Dropbox and syncing between multiple machines and syncing with your iPad and your iPhone. Yeah. All good stuff. Good. So I don't know. What do you think, Mike? What's, you know, I know that you've been looking for kind of the right solution.
Yeah, I'm kind of just looking for what is easiest for me. And that brings us back to, you know, what we're always harping on about, you know, about things being minimal and built in and not going over what you need. I've tried Carbonite for a while, but my issue with offsite is just how long it takes. So something like, you know, looking at Time Machine, was for me probably a good idea, and Dolly Drive seems like a good way to do it. If I'm going to be using Time Machine, then why not go for something that will go hand in hand with it? It kind of makes sense for me, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I, like I said, I haven't really had a chance to try Dolly Drive, but, you know, if you decide to go that route, I'm sure we can do a follow-up episode where,
yeah,
you know, you can say, oh, yeah, this really works well, and I really like the way it works. But honestly, decent backup, you should really never see it working, right? It should just happen in the background. That, you know, that's kind of what I love about my solution, is that it just kind of happens, and I don't think about it. You know, not to keep hammering away on Crash Plan, but one of the things that's so nice about it is that it is, like, it's so silent, and it uses so little resources to do what it does. I mean, it's like a little bit of magic. And I oftentimes, I'll launch the Crash Plan app just to make sure it's still working, because you don't hear it. You don't feel it. You know, especially if you've got a decently fast system, it's, you'll never know. And you can completely control, like, you know, how much of the CPU it uses while you're doing other things, important. And things like that. Yeah, I mean, you can completely control those aspects and those preferences, but you don't even really have to mess around with those, because out of the box, it just works.
As soon as it becomes a problem for you, you don't want to keep turning it off. It kind of defeats the point of having it, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
If it's affecting your experience while on your Mac.
Yeah. Right, exactly. You never want to be in a situation where you have a backup program that you're feeling like you want to turn it off, or you have to turn it off because, yeah, it's getting in the way of things. A backup should never work that way. If it is, it's just plain wrong. So I think we've covered it pretty well. Obviously, if folks have questions about this stuff, they should reach out to us, Patrick Roan on Twitter, and I'm Mike, IMYKE, for Michael here, and on Twitter as well. And eventually, you know, I should probably set up like a mailbox specifically for the podcast, but I think that'll come down the road. For now, Twitter is at least the best place to start with a question. We can redirect you to email if it takes longer to answer.
Good stuff.
Thanks a lot, Mike, and
thank you.
We'll talk later.
Good stuff there. Cheers, mate.
All right, cheers.